Blog Talk Radio.
World, you just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right, my name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of the Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. Thank you, everybody, for tuning back in. We are in season 12. Tonight's topic is, what does it take to make a legend? And we have two awesome, awesome men that are going to be calling in on tonight. One a legend in the making and one already a celebrity in his own right. So we're going to be getting into that. But first, you know, I got to give you some background on the show, some birthdays, condolences, et cetera, and then we're going to get into the word real quick before my first caller calls in. I do want to say congratulations to my baby brother, Stephen Daniels II. He won first place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for bodybuilding. So congratulations to him on winning first place. And also, I want to let people know to please come out to the Metric. I will be performing again. This time, I won't be doing comedy, but I will be doing spoken word. Many don't know, you know, here in this area that I am a spoken word artist or award winning many, many times. And it's been a minute since I've been doing it, but it's going to be on August the 10th, which is a Wednesday, and it'll be starting around 9:30. I'll be opening up for the comedians for Jackson's comedy show. So please, if you're able to come out, I know that it's $10 at the door. So look it up. Metric is right downtown in Bridgeport. So I do want to let people know a little background on the show, though. Okay, and for those of you that have not heard this show before, and those of you who have heard it, please share the link, and the show will be ready for sharing a few minutes after it is done. So we do reach U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, and now Japan. So hello to everybody that is out there listening across the world. Thank you for tuning in. This has been 12 years, over 200 episodes, over 10,000 in listenership, and I've interviewed over 400 guests and that are celebrities and non-celebrities from all walks of life. So thank you so much for that. I will be reading some of the names you know, midway through and at the end of the show, because there is a lot. But I do want to give birthday shout outs, and it's a lot. These are mostly names that I got from my Facebook, because I just can't remember all the birthdays and people, you know, whose birthday has come up. But I want to give a shout-out to my goddaughter, Keonta Massenburg, Miss Jones, journalist, Lindsley Gay, Laverne Evans, Alicia Gross, Sonia Hudson Payne, who's been on the show before, Jerome Lord, Tony Lingard, who I went to Dolan Middle School with back in the day, Michael Brinkley, Stephen Brimley, Satanya Ford, my cousin Samri's daughter, Laveda, my cousin Rita Wright Payton, my cousin Lee Rush, my other family members is Barbara Montgomery, her daughter Lori Ann Wesley. I want to give a shout out to Preacher 719, Elder Ernest Richards, Clifton Smith, who is an FB friend. I've never met him before, but he's always supporting and liking my stuff. Taquana Barry Pipkin. I hope I said that correctly. Gwen Taylor Edwards, she was the host of Our Lives talk show, who was on for many, many years. The woman has done so much, and I just am grateful for her and all she's done for Diamonds in the Rough, for supporting us and having the children on, and I've been on her show maybe 14, 15 times. Also, Janice Dempsey, who was on this show before, Francine Whaley, shout out to her. She helped me out so much when I was in my predicament of being homeless years ago. So shout out to her. Shout out to Tiffany Tazell, who's been on the show before, my cousin Stephen Humphrey. I do want to send condolences to Mrs. Jennings, Mrs. Mary Jennings. She lost her husband, Howard, June 1st, which I just found out like last week. And it just broke my heart, because this man was, they both were such pivotal people in my life that, you know, they did so much for me that they don't even realize. And I know Mrs. Jennings was definitely a mentor. She pushed me to get my master's degree. Actually, she told me I was going to get my master's degree, that having a bachelor's was not enough. And so I just want to give a shout out to her and her family and send my love. Also, again, to my brother-in-law's family, Sean Evans. We had spent some time as memorial cookout that his sisters and family do every year, and it was off the chain. And then my heart goes out to my mother's good friend, Shirley, whose ex-husband was in the hospital, really on his deathbed. And I just hope that he recovered and will continue to recover. If you would like to give donations, or God has put it on your heart to help at all, Diamonds in the Rough, or me for running this thing, because everything takes time. This is not something, I do this out of kindness of my heart, and because God has urged me. I don't know when it'll end, but everything takes preparation and time and organization and putting yourself into it. And so I don't do it because of the money, surely not, because I really ain't nobody really gave me nothing really in the past 12 years, maybe a handful and people who wanted to have the MP3 played. But other than that, I do this out of love. So if you would like to help out at all, Diamonds in the Rough, the information up there for PayPal and Cash App is there, or you can buy my artwork or books, go to my website. All the information is up there, and I'm going to get into some scriptures, because we're talking about legends, and there are many, many people who did heroic acts out of faith in the Bible. And I'm not going to name them all, because that would be ridiculous. However, I do want to just name a few. Abel, That's in the book of Genesis, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses. My favorite was Job and Joseph. And also, you know, as far as a woman, for me, it was Esther. She was very brave. But I'm going to read a little bit about Enoch before my first caller calls in. Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. Enoch, it says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Also, real quickly, I see my first caller has called in. Noah, this man has so much faith. I mean, everyone around him thought he was out of his mind, nuts, crazy, an alcoholic, ridiculous, stupid, and he saved his family because no one else believed in him. And it says in Hebrews 11:7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that came by faith. So he was a righteous man, and he was obedient, and his faith was definitely unshakable, because this was a great feat that had never been done before. And so, you know, a lot of times, when legends are being created, and like a diamond, they're under so much pressure, and they have to go through so much, and they have to believe. They have to believe also in themselves, because you have a lot of external forces that are trying to hinder that or block it or prevent it from happening. So in any case, I just wanted to know, continue to do what you're doing. And regardless of what anybody thinks, if that's something that God put into your heart. And so I do want to play a little bit of music. And so see, my first caller calls in here again. And I'm going to play Earth, Wind, and Fire, who are a legend in their right, the song Imagination. Of Imagination by Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm going to plug my first caller in right now. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. This is Imagine, this medium.
Yes, yes, and it's so good to have you on. I met you about 2 months ago and at a show you were doing here in Bridgeport, and you were amazing. I was just laughing uncontrollably when you were up there doing your thing.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed.
Yes, yes. I think you were talking about different people from different cultures, and you were sounding like everybody. Like, you know, where did you come up with that type of sketch?
Well, being a real New Yorker, I guess.
Being a New Yorker?
Yeah,
okay.
I think being a New Yorker fills in that question, because we're just so, how can I say, so many nationalities around me, you know?
Yes.
And lots
yes.
of my friends are just, it's not just Puerto Rican friends. I got friends from all over, so, you know. Anytime I deal with any of my friends, I appreciate their culture. So just learning from the culture allows me to express my opinion on it.
Well, I hope that, you know, after we go through, you know, the interview, before we end with you, you would give us a little taste of that so my audience can hear just what it is that you do, just a little bit. But tell me how you began with the comedy. What made you want to go into it in the first place?
Just plain old being funny and people telling me I'm funny and being a class clown and always looking towards making people, you know, laugh. I always had a good feeling with that. So
okay.
I just kind of like took heed to what everyone was saying, and then I just basically stepped to my business, and it's 28 years from now. 28 years
wow.
I'm here now. So.
28. So when was the first time that you remember, way back, I mean, like before you started hitting the big stages, were you like in elementary? Did you like stand up in front of the class and start doing stuff, or was you at home? You know, tell me a little bit.
I was just that type of kid that was borderline special ed.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't mean
borderline.
To laugh, but okay.
Yeah, I would say borderline special ed. I wasn't placed in special ed, but I was very close to being special ed.
Okay. Was that because you were always clowning?
I was always clowning. I don't sit still. I mess with the teachers. I have all my friends laughing. I'm snapping. Back in the days, it was your mother jokes.
Yes.
It was just a ball of fun, basically.
Right. Well, I guess I should have been borderline special ed because I used to do the same exact thing. For real.
Yes.
I understand completely. I mean, you know, a lot of us that grow up in, you know, the culture where, you know, you come in from the inner city, you know, you develop these ways of survival and coping, and, you know, your natural ability just exudes and comes out when you're around that, you know, especially
yes.
when you got friends that's clowning. You know,
yeah, like my best friend is Jamaican, so
okay.
My best friend, me and him hang out for like forever, from like 7 years old, and I know all about his culture. He knows all about my culture, and that's how I was able to develop my my Jamaican accent when I chat with the Jamaican people. Them, you know.
Okay, got you.
Well, I'm going to chat with the Jamaican people there, man. I know how to chat with them, right? You know? I mean, that sounds like I never tried.
Yeah.
I never tried to speak Jamaican. It's just chat, and that's the way it come out, you know?
Right. So what did your parents think? I mean, were they happy about this newfound talent, or, you know, or did they just feel like, hey, that's him. That's who he's going to be?
No. I think me becoming a comedian has surprised the whole world, because that wasn't like, you know, like you just said, survival was serious back in the days. So I was a hustler. I was in the streets. I was selling all kinds of drugs. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah. So being involved in the streets, my street friends are more shocked that I am who I am today because of who I was before.
Right. Okay. And what about your parents? What did they think?
Well, I don't know my mom. I don't know my pops like at all.
Okay. Okay.
So I just dealt with my moms and my grandma. So I feel like I get my sense of humor from both of them, because to me they were like the most funniest people in the world. My grandma used to cater to family members that came over to the house, and my mom's has a mouth with no filter.
Right, right. And that, you know what? That, boy, we got a lot in common. Cause, unbelievable. But you know what? I honestly believe that it's something that is innate when we have gifts. I really believe that, you know, maybe it didn't come from exactly maybe the mother or the father, but it was like a mix, and maybe it skipped a generation or whatever. But you had to be exposed to something to say, oh, I like that. I can, you know, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? When did that light bulb go off?
I think me personally, just being funny, always being that type of kid, I think my family... I was never really that kid that go to the room kid. I was that kid back in the days growing up where my aunt, it was mainly my aunt, so they used to send me to Virginia every summer. I never hanged out in New York in the summer. They always send me to Virginia. And my aunt used to have me telling her stories because she loved the way I just told my stories.
Right. Okay.
She would have her friends come over, you know, maybe on a Friday, and they would come and hang out, and they came with their kids, whatever, you know, we all had to go to the room, you know, adults is adults and kids are kids. Well,
yes.
I was that one kid that was allowed to be in the living room with them because I had stories. And my aunt would be like, tell them about this one. Tell them about when you went fishing the other day. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and that's true.
I will always be able to take a story, turn it into the most funniest thing that ever happened to anyone.
And you know, and you when you said that, that is so true, because back when we were growing up, it was like be seen and not heard, and you weren't allowed in the room with a bunch of grown-ups talking and whatever they were doing, unless you had something special, you know, to showcase or whatever, you know, that they would get a kick out of.
My kid was doing voices for my aunt. My aunt used to always say, do the Bobby World. And that was Howie Mandel. Back in the days, Howie Mandel is kind of like maybe the first, he was the very first comedian I've ever seen do stand-up, but I was very young. I don't know what's happening, but I know this man made me crack up. So then I started doing, like, his characters and stuff to make other people crack up. So my aunt was always telling me to do the Bobby's World because it was, like, her favorite little character that I used to do. And she's like, do the Bobby's World. And I was like, hello? And I know Bobby. And I'm Bobby's one.
Okay.
I go to the paddle.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
I remember the name. Yeah.
And she is just on the floor.
And so, is your aunt? Does she see the growth that you've had? Is she around to see that?
My aunt calls me today to give me jokes.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Her newest joke, she just called me. She said, hey, look, you know, everybody has a GoFundMe. You know, everybody having the GoFundMe. GoFundMe this. GoFundMe that. She said, let's create a different app. And let's call it GoFindMe.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, GoFindMe. She said, yeah. If somebody comes up to you, you're like, GoFindMe this. Your mother said that, go find me that. And everything's go find me. So now you're sending people to go find you something.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. And you know what? Somebody going to do it, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the thing. And then she goes, okay, all right. So you make sure you put that on stage. And then she'll hang up. That's it. Like, she's like, like my aunt, I guess, is a comedian, but is very proud of me on stage.
Right. Okay. I understand that. I understand that totally. You know, it was back in the day we had, you know, people like Red Fox and Flip Wilson and Richard Pryor and things of that nature, you know, people in some, you know, you're not supposed to listen to because they're cussing a lot, you know, because back then you couldn't do all of that, you know, on national TV or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but
got a record. And everybody gathered around the record, had a few drinks, and they would just enjoy that record. And it was like being in a comedy club.
Right, right. And I would be right there listening.
Yeah, I would be right there listening, too. I would be listening from the other room.
Yes, I hear you. Yes. I used to put on little breakdancing shows and do little acts where I would make my stomach blow up and all kind of stupid stuff. I mean, I never forget it. I made my grandmother fall on the floor by accident one time, trying to show the whole family at Thanksgiving these crazy things that I thought was so funny that I could do. And I felt so bad because she fell on the floor and hurt herself. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know? Yeah, you know, but thank God that was the grandmother that had the best sense of humor, because other than that, I probably would have got a whooping, you know.
I got plenty of those too.
For real? What was one of the things you did that you could remember?
Let me see. I was playing with matches and a Polaroid picture. And then my uncle came in the room, so I threw the Polaroid picture under the bed. And then he asked me what I was doing. Nothing. He came in there, got his jacket, left. I went to go get that picture, and the whole bottom of the bed was engulfed.
Oh, my God.
So I literally burnt the apartment down. Yeah. And I think the whole family kicked my ass that day.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. My cousin did that when he was 12. Wow.
From all eight of them.
I know you did, because once you get beat by one, you got, you know, some more adults in the house. You're going to get a whooping by them, too. Goodness. But nobody got hurt, did they?
Only the dog died.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm sure that stuck with you.
Which was my uncle's dog that was the most strictest man in the whole wide world. So can you imagine what happened with me and him?
Oof. Oh, my goodness.
God, with him till George finds out. Like, oh, my God, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what?
Part of my life.
Thank God that people got hurt. Sorry about your dog, but that is devastating. My goodness. And so did you try to use that in any way in your comedy?
I can if I wanted to.
Right.
But I try to stay updated. I try to stay with the present time.
Right. Okay.
Unless I'm doing a show and everyone is 50 and better.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know sometimes people, you know, they take from their life, you know, this is how they become great, because they take from their life things, experiences, stuff that's happened, you know, things that, you know, have affected them and turn it around and turn it that into comedy and jokes and things of that nature. So that's why I asked you.
I don't think I feel with drama like that where I can say, oh my God, I'm just, no, I think I've just been a very, I love pranks. I love to just make people laugh from young. I love to see people smile, because I would say I would love to see people smile and laugh and crack up, because in my household, it was always a war.
Right. Okay.
You understand? So in my household, no one ever laughed. No one ever. Everybody was just really on their, going down their own throats, you know? Right?
Yeah.
Sitting on the side just witnessing this. So
yes.
I became the person that would just be like, I'm starting to mimic them in their arguments, and now I'm having them crack up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I definitely know what you mean.
I was that person like, oh my God, for real? Ew! You know? Shut up. You know, I'm like, that's nasty. You know?
Right. Well, I know that they believe that you are a true blessing, and, you know, he put you in that family to brighten them up. You know, you're that one. You're that one. You know, so what do you think it takes to make a legend?
I think it shows a person's legend status by the way he takes care of his family.
Okay. I understand. Yes.
As good as your mom's is as good as your life is going to be.
Right. And that is a part of being a prize, being that one that is a provider and heading your household, is taking care of your family. I mean, you can't be necessarily, you could be a legend and without doing that. However, what would make you an even greater legend and a legend in your family is doing that. So I agree with you in that sense as well.
Yeah. Because dealing with your mom, making sure she's good, I think that's just the key to life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can attest to that, and I can, because that's the only person in this world that would literally die for you.
Right, in most situations.
And trueness. That's the only person. If your mother was like, we're gonna take her life, she would say, I'll take mine.
Right. She should. I mean, that's what a mother should do. And a father.
This is that only person in this world. So you cherish that person. Because you're not going to find no one like that.
Right. Absolutely. I hear you. I understand.
Yeah, you might have good friends. You might have friends that you consider brother. You put them in a different level. But still, at the end of the night, no one's going to have your back the way your mom's does.
Right. And I hear you. Keep on talking. Tell me a little bit more. Seems like when I do this show, some crazy pop-up comes up. Now I want to do downloads for updates. I mean, ridiculous. But what do you think, who do you think has been the person that you've looked up to as a legend?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather, okay. And why is that?
I think my grandfather was a legend. He drove a Cadillac. His suit matched his Cadillac. He had swagger.
All right.
Seeing what I saw, you understand why I say you saw this man and it was a shine. You know what I mean?
Yes. I definitely know what you mean.
Very, very wise, very just. He was a mason.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So his level of thing was on point. Let's put it that way.
And before we go, because we're running out of time, got like a minute left. Can you just share a little bit of a little something? You know, just in case, you know, make somebody laugh that might be listening.
Well, what you can do, what they can do then, right? Cause basically, this is a conversation and stand up. Within the conversation, there's always going to be funnies. I'm pretty sure if anyone's listening.
Well, do another impression for us.
Well, like I told you, I come from New York, so. My style comes from being a real New Yorker, because I have so many different nationalities. That's why I feel like Trump never had an effect on us, on trying to make us racist, because we live among each other. Like me personally, my next door neighbor, he's Indian. And I know this man 20 years, and I look forward to messing with him every morning. Like, I'll be outside waiting, and when he comes out, I'll just start messing with him, like, what are you doing? Where are you going today? What are you doing today? You know you can't go outside without your mask today. So they came back yesterday again. And he would turn around and look at me and like, don't do it. Don't
you
do
are
it.
So good. Wow.
I don't want to do it every day for 20 years while doing this. So I look forward to messing with him. Like, you know what's amazing? One day he got me back. One day I came outside and he was there. He was like, hola.
¿Cómo te oh my goodness.
And I was like, you okay. Still sound good.
Well, thank you so much, Imagine. I mean, Imagine. We gotta go. My second caller is holding on the line, because a little technical issue went over a little bit. But I appreciate you taking the time out. I hope you feel better, you know, and care of your cold. And God bless.
All right, sweetie.
All right.
Thank
bye
you
bye.
For having me.
You're welcome. Anytime. There you have it. That was Imagine, comedian out of New York City. I am going to play a little bit of another legend, John Legend, and this is called Green Light. And quickly come back. I can't do any announcements until the end because my second caller is holding patiently. My next guest, who's waiting patiently, this is Talk to Me Radio, Sheree Humphrey. DJ Juan Kuhn has been at the forefront of the Connecticut music scene, starting with his career as a radio DJ for WHUS Radio at UConn in the early 90s. Juan has been a radio personality on WYBC 94.3 in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as a mix show DJ for both WYBC and WBLS 107.5 in New York City. Juan Kuhn is more than just a DJ. He is also a well-known promoter. His influence has extended beyond the Connecticut borders as he has played for and promoted shows for the likes of Jolie Magazine, Her Game Fashion Show, hosted by Vivica Fox, the NBA, Xerox, IBM, the Muhammad Ali Foundation, Arthur Ashe Foundation, the NARAS, / Grammy, of which he is a voting member. He has played in almost every major city of the USA as a headliner DJ, including New York, California, Chicago, D.C., Miami, and so on. Currently, Juan Kuhn has been heard on www.1015thevibe.com on Fridays and Saturdays from 8 to 12 a.m. The Vibe is an Atlanta, Georgia-based radio station. Juan also DJs live on UGC Radio in London every Monday from 6 to 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Juan is a celebrity DJ worldwide, a CEO of Diamond Life Music and Media, a producer and songwriter. He is also a friend of mine who I esteem highly, and I am very, very proud of his accomplishments, and I'm going to plug him in right now. Hello.
Hey. Hey.
Hi.
Oh, wow.
How you doing, Juan?
I'm good.
Yes, absolutely. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you on because you have been interviewing so many people and worked with so many people, and it's just great when I can interview the interviewer.
Oh man, I'm spinning around right now. I'm spinning. How you doing? Good, good.
I'm doing well. My voice is doing good tonight, so I'm happy about that. And you know, everybody has heard, you know, some of the things you've done, because I know for a fact there's more. But I asked for a very, very short bio. Tell me how you got your start. I mean, I met you as a teenager, and you know, I didn't really know you that well because I met you through my cousin Cookie, and I was just a kid myself who was very sheltered at that time. So how did you get your start in getting involved in the music business?
Wow. You know, that question, that's the basic one-on-one question, but I struggle with it all the time. It's because I do so many different things. It's really kind of hard to say I got to start in a specific area, but I will share with you, if I had to pinpoint a certain place, I got my start music being a member, MC in a rap group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was an MC in a rap group, and, you know, we cut a couple of demos. We shopped at some major labels. We had major label interest. We released a couple of songs that actually, you know, they actually went like international and domestic and global. But it was that recording in the studio as an MC for a rap group was where I got my start for music. And it kind of ventured off into DJing at the same time. But the MCing came first and the DJing came second.
And what was the name of the group?
The name of the group, I was in two rap groups. The first rap group was called Disciples of Sound, and the second rap group was called Fade to Black. Fade to Black was actually a rap group that actually toured, and we actually went across the country. We were signed to International Entertainment Network at the same time, the Toby Brothers, who actually were working with Run DMC, 50 Cent, LL Cool J, and we basically, our headquarters was based in Queens, New York. But, you know, living in Connecticut, I used to travel from Connecticut to New York to be a part of the production, to be a part of the recording process, to actually shop the demos. And we actually had a considerable amount of success. We did the Apollo. We actually did a lot of the music seminars, Jack the Rapper, New Music Seminar. We had a little success. It was a very interesting transition from MCing to DJing, but the two go kind of hand in hand.
And I think I've heard of Fade to Black. I really believe that name sounds so familiar. Being in that entertainment scene, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, but like I said, I was sheltered at that time period until I broke free. But in any case, is that something you wanted to always be doing? Like when you thought about, okay, when I grow up, I'm going to be this. What was on your mind?
Wow. And see, you know, it's kind of funny because I'm going to tell you, the whole process for me has pretty much been connect the dots, experience something and become enlightened, and then experience more of it and become even more enlightened and grow into it. But I went to school actually. I mean, I had a scholarship for engineering. I was gonna be a mechanical engineer. My initial intent was to be a mechanical engineer, but I ended up going to school and I ended up getting on the college radio station and I ended up DJing most of the college parties. And life has a funny way of pulling you where you need to go. So that's what happened to me.
It absolutely does. I totally agree with you on that aspect. But I know as a little girl, I wanted to be many things, but singing was one of the top. And, you know, so you're right. It does have a funny way of doing that. And when you can find your purpose and, you know, what you're gifted at and combine that, it's a beautiful thing because you don't mind going to work when you can do that, you know, making a living, you know, and that's what you're doing.
That's so true. That's definitely true. That's one of the things that you tend to learn a little later on in life. At first, it's like you get awed by all of the things that are coming at you, and you don't really see the correlation between doing what you do and making a living at what you do. It's not really that black and white at that point when you're younger, but as you get older, you realize it's a lot better to be happy when you go to work than to be, you know, not wanting to go to work.
Yes, miserable. And then if you're miserable and you still ain't making no money to make ends meet, it makes it even all the more painful getting up and going to work. You know, oh, my goodness. I mean, I remember some jobs I used to hate walking through the door. I used to be praying, God, get this over with quick. I mean, like, hurry up, end of the day.
Anything that's a job, most people hate. You know, if it's a job, you hate the job. But, you know, if it's if your livelihood, that's a different thing, you know.
Right, absolutely. Because I'd be sitting there sometimes because I know I go to the Metric almost every week. And you are, like, the hardest working Black man I see right now, and I'm like, my God, this man is everywhere, you know.
it is a blessing, and I appreciate that sentiment. Thank you. I appreciate that. That makes my heart warm to hear you say
that.
You're
welcome.
But it is definitely a blessing to not only to be able to be perceived as everywhere, but to be able to do it for as long as I've been doing it, it is definitely a blessing.
Right.
I tell you, you know.
Yes,
like I said,
absolutely.
It's not a job to me; it's my livelihood because I love music.
That's right.
You know,
and your passion.
Every time you see me, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, I love what I do. So I hope that comes out and permeates too.
Absolutely. And that's what I say, you know, I like you said, it takes time to grow into things and to mature and to understand and to look back and say, oh, okay, that's what God was doing. And then you'd be like, okay, you know, and this is why I tell, you know, I've had a lot of God children, like almost 12 in my life and nieces and nephews. And I tell them, now that I'm older, I say, look, I know it was a blessing to go to college. I was first generation in my family. However, I tell them, go to college, get the degree, but don't work for nobody. Open your own business. Do something you love to do, because in the end, you're going to come right back to it anyway.
Yeah, you know, and nowadays, you know, I mean, I was able to go to college. I was able to get a scholarship to go to college. And at the same time, it's a blessing to be able to have a plan and have a mentor that can show you a different way and show you, you know, that, hey, you, even though you don't go to college, as long as you got a plan and you have a way to put it into action, things can work too. So it's always
that's right.
I expose education, espouse it definitely, but at the same token, you know, if you have a plan and you keep an eye on people that are doing things, making moves,
right,
who move the game, because those are the people that you want to emulate. If you're going to emulate somebody, emulate successful people.
Yes, yes, and that is so true, because I don't think I would even be alive or even doing this show had it not been for the numerous mentors in my life. It wasn't one. It was many, you know, Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you did the Grammys. Phoenix Fire is on your label, and she was nominated. And, you know, tell us a little bit about that experience.
Oh, wow. Well, I've been a voting member of the Grammys for about 20 years. This is my 20th year. This year will be my 20th year. I've been nominated twice.
Wow.
This is actually the nomination for this year, our remake of Stevie Wonder's Ass. It was impressive because I actually was able to go to the ceremony and I actually was able to take part in the process, and I was blown away. I mean, it even though we didn't win, I felt like I won because of all of the experiences that the process showed me. It allowed me to have firsthand viewing of that whole process, you know, actually being a part of the voting, being a part of the actual ceremony, you know, being on site, on stage, in the audience, backstage, green room. It was mind-altering. It was a transformative experience for me.
Yes, I can only imagine, you know, because that is an accomplishment, and you should pat yourself on the back because that is extraordinary. That is not something that happens all the time. And you put in the work, and it paid off. And a nomination is a great feat, you know. So I commend you for that. And, you know, I had Phoenix on several years ago, and she also sang for my children's, my niece's debut with her book, and I included her in, you know, my debut and party for the children, and she came out and she sang, and, you know, she told me a little bit about herself then, and, you know, before all of the Grammy stuff, you know, has occurred, and I've seen her evolve over that, you know, short period of time, and to see her back, you know, back with a vengeance from singing background and doing all the things she needed to do to get to this particular level. And she was, you know, such a sweet person, such a lovely, kind person, and which is why I asked her to come back on my show again last year. And so it would only be right that she's even working with you, because one thing I know about you, you have never, ever changed. Your head never got swole. You never was like the kind that was like, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. You was never arrogant over your accomplishments. Yeah. And that's what is so attractive about who you are, you know?
Well, thank you. I appreciate I appreciate these kind words. I'm going to have to come to your show more often. I honestly, it's funny. I've been in the game so long. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, a lot of it is not even about how good you are at what you do. It's not about what you've done during the course of your career. What people sometimes fail to understand is that everything in life is a blessing. And God has blessed me with opportunities. He's blessed me with abilities. And all of these blessings come from God. So I'm just grateful that he can use me as a vessel to just manifest these blessings in his name. And that's basically...
See, you're so positive. You are so positive. I love it.
The bottom line is I have to be a vessel that can be utilized, and hopefully I utilize it for goodness, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that encourages me as well, because you've known me, and, you know, and it's like, you know, I have felt in my life sometimes that all the gifts, because there, you know, has been so many, that it was a curse at one point, mm-hmm. because I felt like I was being used up like a rag, like left and right, here and there. It was like I was stretched so thin for so long. And, you know, I started to resent it. And then when I became homeless, I really resented it. I was like, I'm not doing another thing for no one else. You know, exactly.
Life will show you. You can be up one minute and you can be down the next. But at the end of the day, when you realize the gifts that God has given you, and you just walk in faith, you'll get from point A to point B. It may not be
right
in your time, but it will be
right
in God's time. And that's what you just have to manifest as you go. So, yeah.
And that is so true. And sometimes we got to take a step back. You know, we got to have balance, because we can tire ourselves out to the point where we don't give 100% because we're worn out. And, I realize that balance is very, very important for your health, your self-care, your mental well-being, for everything, for you to continue to do what you do. What do you feel about that?
That's so true, because I'll tell you one thing, and that's something that's wisdom acquired with time. And I'll tell you why.
Right.
When you first start out, as everything inundates you, you become so entwined in whatever's going on in your life that you'll put your fingers in everything.
Yeah.
And you'll realize that the more you put of you in other things, the less you have for the other things. So balance is important, because now you realize that you can't put all your eggs in one basket and expect
right
for it to grow. You know,
absolutely,
you got to spread it out. You got to pull back. You got to say no to some things. You got to relax. You got to pace yourself. You got to take care of your health. You know, balance is really the key to success and longevity, because if you're balanced, you become long. You live longer, and you actually do more, because now you're living well.
Yes, and that is true. That is the difference.
Yes.
And we don't have that much time left, but I do want to ask you what it takes to be a legend. We're going to stop streaming, but it will continue recording. So what do you think it takes to make a legend?
Well, I think in order to be a legend, you have to be able to impact somebody, and you have to be able to impact them in a way that it's unrefutable. You are a legend if your name rings bells. Now, you can be a legend for good. You can be a legend for bad. Legend lives on after you have gone. So, yes,
right,
you could be a good legend or you could be a bad legend. But being a legend, you will impact people, and they will remember your name, and it rings on longer than you are here on this earth.
That's right, and that is well said, and it is accurate, and I love it. And
Thank you.
Tell us what you have coming up, because I know you got a lot of stuff going on, you know, that's, you know, happening in the near future. And your birthday, happy birthday!
Thank you. August 3rd is my technical birthday, but I have so many exciting things going on. The first thing is I just completed a song It's a gospel theme song. It's called Spread the Word. Nicki Nicole is the vocalist on this record. It's coming out. It'll be available worldwide on Diamond Life Music and Media September 1st. And we're really excited about this record. The advance promos are going out this week, so you will get your copy. I'll make sure you get an advance promo of this record.
All right. Great.
Yeah, we got that coming up. I have international trips that I promote. Juan Kuhn Promotions. We just did Punta Cana. I have a trip coming up to Cabo. I have a trip coming up to Dubai. I have a trip coming up to Hawaii. So those are the three places that I got in the works for my promotions company. We do the comedy show every Wednesday at Metric. We have
yes.
hosted by Jackson, and we're giving up and coming comedians a showcase to get their chops on, to get their experience, to develop their audience, their core audiences. And we have a lot of superstars that come through, and we look forward to encourage and try to manifest that and keep it around as long as we can. I've got a couple of residency DJs venues that I do. On Fridays I do Metric in Bridgeport. On Saturdays I DJ at Harps in West Haven. On Sundays I DJ at Rum and Tequila. And basically that's the DJ Juan Kuhn. Most people know me from my club days back in Tipton's, back at Club Carib.
Oh yeah, I remember Tipton's. Yep, Carib.
Yeah. So I keep that alive at every one of my venues. You will hear a little bit of each one of those places in my set. So, you know, people find out where I am, and I'm just blessed that so many people support me the way they do. I mean, there really isn't any words that I could just really truthfully put out there that can capture the essence of how blessed I am and appreciative
right.
of the support that I get. But that's, you know, basically, in a nutshell, some of the things that I have coming up.
Yes, absolutely. And I know you just did the show with Patrice Rushen up in New Haven. That was awesome. I walked in.
Evelyn
Go ahead.
Champagne
I'm sorry.
King. Yeah, Evelyn.
Yes.
Champagne King.
Evelyn.
She's phenomenal. Now, I got another show I really want to tell you that's coming up in August, but I can't even mention the names, and you will not believe the names of these people on this show, but I got a show coming in the Bridgeport area in August that's going to just blow the city apart.
Yes, absolutely, and I know what you're talking about, but if you don't want to say anything yet, that's fine with me. I can announce it next month when I do my first show. Hopefully it'll be, yeah. But
in any case,
I want to be there
roster,
for real.
That roster is bananas, so.
Okay.
You know, and that's the thing with, you know, putting together concerts, you know, everything evolves until it's showtime. So, you know, things change,
right.
things things get better, things grow. But I will, as soon as I get it all finalized, you will definitely be the first to know.
Yes, absolutely, because I love to be a part of that in some capacity, you know, especially covering
it.
And
you ain't going to believe it. You ain't gonna believe it when I tell you what's happening.
Oh, okay.
Don't
do this to me because I'm ready. I want to know now.
It's about to go down. You're not gonna believe it, but I was able.
Okay.
I was able through my connections to pull it off. So.
All right. Wonderful. And you know I'm gonna be performing on the 10th of August. So me and Jackson confirmed that. He confirmed it with me. So I'll be opening up, doing the spoken word. So, you know, I know you all calling. Is she saying too? I'm like, no, Juan, don't say that. I don't want to
yeah.
sing in front of everybody yet.
You see, I gotta blow it up, man. If I know you doing it, you know I'm your biggest supporter. Plus, I put it out there. You and me are like family. I look at you as when
yes.
I see you, I see family.
Thank you.
So,
Likewise.
It ain't nothing.
Well, you know, Cookie used to always introduce me. That's your cousin right there. That's your cousin.
Yeah.
I'm like, my God, how many freaking cousins do we have?
You see why I say I look at you as family, because you've always been family to me. We don't even do play cousins. It's like, yo, that's blood right there.
Exactly.
So host. Definitely.
Yes, but it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking out your busy schedule to call in to talk to me. And I appreciate it. And I'll be seeing you this week.
Okay, well, thank you for everything. Thank you for having me. And
yes.
And God bless. And thank you. And keep doing you. Keep doing what you do.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. There you have it. That was celebrity DJ Juan Kuhn. And so I am going to play a little bit of He Can. If you want to continue listening, I urge you to do that. I'm going to read off the names. I'm adding to this every time someone comes to my remembrance, and I just keep adding names on of all the people, and it might well be over way more than I thought that it has graced this show in 12 years, because the list just gets longer and longer, and I know that this is still not everyone. But I'll tell you what, I will not be reading no 500 names, but I'm going to read this after I play a little bit of the Clark Sisters, and this is called He Can. This is your host and producer, Minister Cherie Humphrey. I am going to read a couple cards that was given to me this past Saturday at the Bridgeport Community Festival. A friend of mine gave the 31st of July, Sunday, July 31st, Jamaican flag raising ceremony on 999 Broad Street, 3 to 5 o'clock. Usually they have something afterwards on the Cleveland Green, but I don't see that information, so I'm not going to say that there is. I do know the Caribbean Jerk Festival is August 20th, which is a Saturday, and that's where it's going to be, you know, food, live performances, the Caribbean Jerk Festival. And it says it starts at noon. And then people who would like to support the youth, this is a scholarship the 23rd Annual West Indian American Association of Greater Bridgeport Scholarship Banquet at the Grassy Hill Country Club. And that is going to be October 8th. And, excuse me, tickets are $85. It's from 7 to 1. Given by the WIAAGB, and this is to raise funds for kids going to college, I presume. So I said I would pass that information out, because I like to, the children, obviously. So in any case, I'm just going to read some names. With Talk to Me Media, I've interviewed a lot of people, including Vicki Winings, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holiday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, and Mary Mary, Bobby Valentino, Deidre Cadden, and many, many more, because I do have press credentials for reporting. So, and then the people who have graced this show has been, I'm going to start from the bottom to the top, John the Apprentice, Sammy Maximum, Lawrence Green of New Jersey, Janice Murray, Walter Taylor, Ashley Welfare, Walter Armistead, Velasquez Singers out of Jersey, Denzel Williams, Janet Dawson, I believe is from ATL, Nigel Dr. Jell Dunkley, CYCY Lee. I know she's a singer. She sang and she's been on the show before. I just don't know how to pronounce that, so I don't want to mess it up. Sheena Bailey out of New York, Pearl Bailey's granddaughter. Matt Jones, Demremius Williams, Brian DeCauzy, Ernell Grant, Anthony E. Brown Jr., David Davis, Jeanette Zacks, Lisa Mellers, James Fountain, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, my cousin, Carolyn Smith, Naja McKenzie, Kayla, Lamar Taylor, my cousin, Connie Johnson, Gina Blaze, Denzel Williams, Michael Jones, Ernest Richards, Jamaica Morrison, Dr. Jamal Bryan, Jazzy Matt, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jennifer Armstead, Amari Daniel Bay, Kaylin Jackman, Spencer Camp, Pamela Wright, Elder Savanda Gaskew, Frank E. Brady, Nini Ali of New York, Mr. Council, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Doc Green, Rodney Bethia, Marilyn Moore, Robbie Jenkins, my former manager, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Kia Swintz, Tanya Ford, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Big T, Matthew Kirkwood, John Lawson, Bobby Ramos, Damon Cook, Brenda Culpepper, Candace Rena, Tyrone Dunmore, Herb Boyd Jr., Maris Goldstone, she's like an auntie to me, and God bless you, Maris. I hope you are doing well. Dwight Lamar, Jason V. Watts, Travis Sims, Day Farrell, Songbird, Pastor Arlene Henry, Lyle Hassan Jones, Sierra Clark, Pierre Guten, Ashley Mondestin, Steve Wallace, Rasheen Dixon of WYBC, Jerry Green of WYBC, Ramai Jubilani, Bernadette Barnes, Kent Barrett, John Hinton, Carissa Dow, violinist out of New York, Marcia Sapp, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, that's another cousin, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, author ML Brooks, Odelia, Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, Trina Seymour Bowers, I think her last name has changed, but I can't remember it. Sonia Hudson Payne, Midnight, Don Nod Nottingham of the Stylistics, Deborah Williams, Coffee Going, J. Ricky Allen Drawing, Misconduct, J. The Comedian, Phoenix Fire, Omar Wilson, Tiffany Tizell, Kiki West, Rashawn Langley, Darren Cookie Moore, Judah Seeley, Keisha Rainey, Riff, Easy Taylor, A. Curtis Farrow, my former producer. She's a producer of McDonald's Gospel Fest. Janice Dempsey, FSW, Pastor Brown, Gerald Kelly, J. Alexander Capone, Drew Frazier, J.P. Justice, Howie Bell, Hope Flood, Mika Jean, Jonathan Gates, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King Mafioso, Jonathan Du Bois, Junior and Senior, Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Jeanette, Elder Jeanette Green Washington. She just got married, so I'm trying to get it in my head. Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles, my mother's ex-boyfriend, Sebastian Trivi, LaVon Briggs. Isaac Zellner, Carmichael the Music Lover, Richmond Punch, Marcel Lashley Davies, J.D. Lawrence, Wendell B., Calvin Richardson, Darren Cookie Moore, Tony Red, The Green Violinist, Glenn Jones, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Curtis Pastor, Curtis Blow, Doobie Powell, Bernard Jackson of Surface, one of my former mentors, Christopher Williams, J.J. Harrison, C.C. Peniston, and Melba Moore. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We will have our next show on August the 15th. Please come out and support. I will be performing at the Metric on August the 10th around 9:30. The show will be opening up, and I'll be opening up for the comedians for Jackson's show. DJ Juan Kuhn is on. Will be on sounds, and the next show we will have Tishy Anderson of the Strawberry Company, who is going to be talking about surviving cancer and all that she's doing for cancer survivors, and Karina Ford, who is a comedian. So tune back in. If you've missed anything, go back and listen. Please share. If you'd like to donate, the information is up on the show page for Cash App and PayPal. If you would like to order any books or artwork, you can go to my website at www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. And if you would like to book me for anything, I do a lot of things, y'all. So, of course, I ain't got no list in front of me, but go to my website. There, you know, something might strike your interest. Spoken word, emceeing, event coordinator, whatever it is, you can call me up and we can discuss it, or inbox me. That would be the better way of trying to contact me first. Because I screen my calls from crazy people and unwanted phone calls. So that would probably be the best thing for you to do. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. Until next time, and I hope you enjoyed the show. And everybody, you should be proud of your accomplishments. Proud doesn't mean conceited or arrogant. So I'm going to play a little bit of Angie Stone, Proud of Me.
I'm proud of me.
of me. I've wasted so much energy giving up myself for me, the very best of me. The thing that sacrificed just to make it right. Dreaming